George W. Bush had already dropped by to see three congressmen when he strode down the high-ceilinged corridor of the Cannon House office building to find the fourth on his list. It was June 17, 1987, and the son of the vice president was making the rounds to gather support for his father's presidential campaign, or at least build goodwill with Republicans on Capitol Hill. His 3:30 p.m. appointment was with a low-key congressman from Wyoming named Dick Cheney. This next-generation Bush was a tall, rangy man, handsome, with an easy smile, and a face that bore a striking resemblance to that of his famous father. Just a couple weeks shy of his 41st birthday, he had moved his wife and twin daughters to Washington for the campaign, appointing himself loyalty enforcer to ensure a growing staff of political operatives was laboring on behalf of George H.W. Bush's interests rather than their own. Along the way, he was becoming a surrogate for his father and was surprised how much he enjoyed his new role. This family business had gotten into his blood. He had none of his father's smoothness, though, and none of those polished New England sensibilities. Junior, as some called him, although he was not technically a junior, lived closer to the edge, the Roman candle of the family, as the campaign chronicler Richard Ben Kramer would call him, the biggest and most jagged chip off the old block. By temperament, the man he was visiting was quite the opposite. Cheney, a former White House chief of staff now in his fifth term in Congress, was as quiet as Bush was voluble, as stoic as the younger man was expressive. He would say what he had to and then stop, perfectly comfortable with the silences that disquieted others. "He's not necessarily what you would call the life of the party," observed Dennis Hastert, who served with him in the House and went on to become Speaker. Cheney's wife, Lynn, thought the way to understand him was to remember how much he loved fly fishing, standing without a sound for hours, casting for a bite. Not a sport for the impatient, as she put it, and definitely not a sport for chatterboxes. He refused to go fishing with his friend Kenneth Edelman because he talks too much. At 46, Cheney had just been promoted to chairman of the House Republican Conference, the number three position in the party leadership. He had his eye on someday becoming Speaker. Neither man in the years to come would remember the first time they met, but it was likely this encounter in the summer before the Republican primaries. Never mind that Cheney had no intention of taking sides in the Republican contest featuring Bush's father. To a congressman eyeing further moves up the leadership ladder, becoming a partisan for a presidential candidate would be asking for grief I didn't need, as Cheney later put it. Indeed, his neutrality would cause a years-long rift with his good friend and mentor, Donald Rumsfeld, who had been contemplating his own run for president. But Cheney got along well with his guest that day. "He and Bush hit it off," recalled Wayne Berman, the campaign's congressional relations director who organized the meeting. Berman would go on to become one of Washington's premier lobbyists and Republican fundraisers, as well as one of the few men close to both Bush and Cheney. He raised millions of dollars for them, promoted their campaigns, and hosted dinners for them at his house. His wife, Leah Berman, would work in the White House first for Cheney's wife and then for Bush's wife. But even Wayne Berman never imagined what would eventually come of the acquaintance that began in that courtesy call one summer afternoon. "Bush in those days was a really interesting guy," he observed years later. "A little insecure, had a bit of a chip on his shoulder. Very skeptical of everything in Washington, something I think he retained. Skeptical of a lot of people around his dad." As for Cheney, he was more comfortable with Washington, yet also kept his distance. The only ones he truly relaxed around were his wife and two daughters. "Cheney has three confidants, and all their last names are Cheney," Berman noted. "One is related by marriage and two by blood. He could be unguarded with friends, but if he told you something and it leaked and he suspected you leaked it, you didn't get a second chance. Finished." Bush, at that point, had yet to win public office and was still evolving into the politician he would later become. When he visited the West Wing in those days, he would stop by offices of aides he knew, plop down on a couch, and put his cowboy boots on the coffee table. Ronald Reagan, who had met the Bush children, thought that if any of them had a bright political future, it would be George's brother Jeb. Their brother Marvin once gave his assessment of each sibling. George, he said. George is the family clown.